Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Mayuk Bhattacharya, Engineering Executive Director at Synopsys. Mayuk has been with Synopsys since 2003. For the first 14 years, he made many technical contributions to PrimeSim XA. Currently, he leads R&D teams for PrimeSim design product robustness and PrimeSim custom fault products. He was one of the early adopters of AI and ML in EDA. He led the development of a FastSPICE option tuner customizer as a weekend hobby, which later became the inspiration behind a popular DSO AI product. He has 11 granted and 4 pending patents, 7 journal papers, and 20 conference publications. Welcome to the podcast, Mayuk.
Glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me here, Daniel.
The first question I'd like to ask is, what brought you to semiconductors originally? Do you have an interesting story to share?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be interesting or not, but I had 5 uncles. My father had a large family. 4 of them were engineers, mostly mechanical engineers, including my dad, of course. And so growing up, I always looked up to engineers as smart people and doing hands-on stuff. And then in India, back in the day, I graduated from high school in 1988. And at that time, there were not too many other choices. If you were good in high school, if you did well, usually you go to IIT, the Indian Institute of Technology, one of the premier institutes in India. And so I got an admission there, and the top ranking students all ended up in electrical or computer science, and I ended up in electronics, which is one of the top branches. So that's how I started my journey, and it has been many years now. I've somehow taken a lot of random steps in the interim, but I stuck to the core of semiconductor industry. I began with fab work, design work, etc. But over the last couple of decades, only software, so on the EDA side of things.
That's an interesting story. I did the same thing, computer science, electrical engineering, and I started in the fabs. And I've spent most of my career in EDA. And I tell you, this is one of the most exciting times in EDA. What I want to talk to you about is design robustness. Can you give me, a definition, an example?
Sure. Let me see if I can, try to explain what robustness means, right, in engineering design. Let me throw in another term, which some of the engineers are more familiar with. That is sensitivity, right? The word sensitivity seems to be, quite popular. Now, robustness is actually the mathematical inverse of sensitivity. That is, if my design's performance is sensitive to some variable, then it is not robust with respect to that variable. In order to make it robust, what we need to do is to reduce this particular sensitivity, right? So robustness, in a sense, is just the opposite of sensitivity, right? And with advanced nodes, what's happening is that, things like random dopant fluctuation, RDF, popularly known as, and then line edge roughness, LER, and that kind of thing, oxide thickness fluctuation, etc. These are becoming more and more pronounced. And number of dopant atoms, it could be as small as 1 per 1,000 silicon atoms. So now the actual number of dopants and the location of dopants inside a channel of a transistor can heavily influence its behavior, right? So and SRAM circuits, the memory circuits, the transistors tend to use very minimum geometry. As a result, all these effects, this lineage roughness, random dopant stuff, they cause much more device mismatch related problems. And so memory cells are also highly repeated in the circuit. So memory designers, they want to ensure that their designs are not sensitive to such process variations. That means they want to make them robust. And hence, design robustness is more and more critical in memory designs, especially. And so this is what we mean by design robustness, that you check a design's sensitivity to process variation and try to make it less sensitive whenever possible. I don't know if I explained it well enough.
No, that's a good definition. You know, I spent part of my career in SRAM, and so I have a very good, you know, understanding of SRAM design robustness. So in regards to memory, how do designers ensure their designs are robust? You know, what are some of the current challenges?
Good question. So there are two broad aspects that the designers usually look into, right? One of them is evaluating their memory circuit's robustness, and the other would be trying to improve the robustness, right? So going back to robustness evaluation, robustness evaluation involves trying to assess yield, right? So yield can be of various types, but the type of yield we are talking about is parametric yield, not yield associated with, you know, manufacturing defect, etc., which is another type of yield, but just parametric yield, where, you know, what fraction of the chips are going to meet the specifications given certain amount of PVT variation, right? Process voltage temperature variations. And what's related to this is quantile estimation with respect to a particular sigma value that they're interested in. Now, the challenges here are, you know, they need to cover a wide range of things, like starting from small bit cells, like, as you said, you know, SRAM cells, maybe six transistor SRAM cells, to all to sense amplifiers, to all the way to large memory circuits, right? So it's a big range to cover. But the sigmas could also range from, say, you know, 6 to 6.5 sigmas for the bit cells to, say, 4 to 4.5 sigmas for larger and larger portions of the memory circuit, including full memory circuits. Now, higher the sigma, of course, more effective, number of Monte Carlo samples have to be simulated. And obviously, machine learning plays an enormous role here. And it's essential, pretty much, at five sigma, you would probably need 1 million samples, and six sigma would need 1 billion samples, right? So that's prohibitively expensive. So this is where machine learning plays a key role in this kind of area. The other challenge, there are many other challenges, but another challenge would be, the distributions have stopped becoming Gaussian, stopped being Gaussian many, many nodes ago. And extrapolation-based techniques don't work anymore in terms of, you know, predicting high sigma behavior. So you have to actually do really accurate simulation and machine learning, etc. Now, another thing is designers do is they want to, as part of robustness evaluation, they want to do some root cause analysis of predicted failures. That is, if Monte Carlo type of analysis was done and it predicted some possible failures, designers would like to do some root cause analysis of such failures. And this is something designers do in order to predict, you know, what are the weak points of the design and try to improve them, make them more robust. Now, talking about robustness improvement, this is another aspect of design robustness beyond just evaluation. So here, what we're talking about is beyond passively evaluating the design, they get some suggestions. The designers get some suggestions for improving the design towards robustness. For example, for bit cells, this would mean that, you know, variation aware optimization. Maybe the word is optimization here, right? With multiple objectives, say, for instance, the read access, write access, static noise margins, etc. So one would like to optimize their design with respect to these measurements. Or it could be a path optimization in a much larger SRAM circuit. So it's not just for the bit cells, but when you actually put it into a functioning SRAM, you might want to do a path optimization because it's a aggregate of effects, a cumulative effect of all the transistors in the path from, you know, when you're trying to read something or write something, and then might need improvement with respect to, you know, improving yield. Now, all these things that we just talked about, you know, they may involve multiple corners and multiple test benches also, which usually involves finding the worst corner, etc. That also makes it quite complicated because now we are talking about not just, you know, millions of simulations for, you know, one corner, but we want to do across hundreds of corners sometimes, right? In non-digital kind of circuit, SRAMs, analog, etc. So, you know, designing iteratively by improving performance at the worst corner is the normal way to design these days, right? So it's a design cycle where you find the worst corner, improve the design, then you go back and see if now you have a new worst corner or that kind of thing. You know, how do we shorten this cycle? That's the challenge that the designers often face. And then, you know, what we constantly, you know, hear from our, you know, the design community is that there is a big need for finding the problems as early as possible. That if my SRAM cell or SRAM circuit is going to function in this PDK or this node, will it function as well in the next delta change in the PDK? You know, and that's a constant problem, right? It's not just in memory, also in analog and all these places you see this problem, but in memory it's particularly so. And if we can discover problems, you know, early on, that's a big advantage, because down the road when problems happen, sometimes, you know, it cuts into the profit margins and it can also lead to, I would say, some existential problem to, you know, these design houses, because sooner you find problems and fix them, the better, right? So these are some of the, you know, challenges, and these are some of the things that the designers are trying to do.
Oh, that's great. Great explanation. Can you talk a little bit more about the aspects of memory robustness that are addressed by Synopsys PrimeSim portfolio?
Sure. Synopsys memory solutions offer memory designers a range of choices, a range of features, if you will. One of the most popular things is HSMC or High Sigma Monte Carlo, right? So as I say, that people want to, designers want to know their chips behavior, that is how many chips are going to be beyond, say, 6.5 sigma, right? Or how many bit cells are going to be beyond 6.5 sigma. For this, you need to do High Sigma Monte Carlo, which is at the tail of our distribution, right? Where only a handful of Monte Carlo samples would reside. So our solution for HSMC, where user provides a target sigma, and we calculate the quantiles for them, that is the proportion of those samples that are going to fall outside the six or whatever sigma boundary, the target sigma boundary. So this is one of our core technologies, and it's very fast and one of the fastest that is known to us. And we also have something related, which is a pure yield estimation, right? So yield estimation is similar to High Sigma Monte Carlo. It essentially uses the same kind of technology, but the use model is slightly different, where the user provides the specification. That is, the specification says that certain metric has to be less than a certain value, right, to be operational. And now we are supposed to predict the probability of failure, that how many chips are going to actually end up on the wrong side of that specification. And here also, you know, we're talking about, you know, very, very high sigma. So this is the yield estimation aspect of, you know, Synopsys memory solutions robustness portfolio. And then, you know, these techniques are heavily machine learning driven. And as I mentioned, you know, accurate quantile estimation at six sigma would mean billions of simulation, which is not just feasible. So machine learning is central, you know, to this type of solution. Now, for larger circuits, we have another technique, which is, you know, an important sampling-based technique, which is, you know, you may know that, you know, if you're sampling from a Gaussian type of distribution or a regular distribution, you will be wasting a lot of time in the normal behavior of the chips. And what you want here is to sample with higher importance the worst part of the distributions, right? So we have another solution, which is doing this. And this is very effective for large circuits with many, many measurements, et cetera. And this type of technology, actually, Synopsys' IP team also uses and has been successfully using for almost a decade on their large memory IP designs. The other aspects of our solution would include sensitivity calculation, for instance, right? Sensitivity, as I said, is closely related to robustness by an inverse relationship. So sensitivity calculation is extremely important in our business. And then, but large circuit sensitivity is what we call design weakness discovery. That is, if you have a large memory circuit, right, an SRAM with, you know, say more than 100,000, say 500,000 transistors or more, trying to find weak devices, that is devices which are the most sensitive, is trying to find needle in a haystack, right? And it's very, very time consuming. So we have some solutions here, and we are continuously improving them. And we do this in the form of a sensitivity analysis that is focused towards large designs, right? And then we also have the root cause analysis aspect of our tool, where we are trying to find out if there has been a failure in the past in the design that the user wants to do a root cause analysis of, or during Monte Carlo analysis we found some of the failure points or some of the samples which actually ended up on the wrong side of the yield curve, right? Yield value. And there we try to put that into this root cause analysis engine, and it tries to reduce those random variables to the essential ones. That is, which transistors or which parameters were the root cause of that problem. And this is to help designers then improve. So that brings us to improvement. Once we have the root cause identified, then we can go into another tool, another aspect of our solution, where we can actually help the designer improve their design, right? That is, modify those highly sensitive variables or transistors to improve the robustness. So these are essentially the top level technologies we have. And there is lots of mix and match of these technologies that happens according to user's requirement. And this is a very challenging area, of course. And I think with our focus on not only best in class simulators, because that's what you need for doing this, that the simulators have to be very, very themselves have to be robust, no pun intended, but they have to be robust, they have to be high capacity and fast. But also with our tremendous focus and investment in the machine learning and AI domains these days, I think this is well within our sweet spot, Synopsys' sweet spot, and we are very confident that our solution will satisfy our design community.
So why is workflow so important in a memory robustness solution?
You bring up a very important subject. So here, since the nature of the solutions we provide, right? So we provide high sigma Monte Carlo, yield estimation, root cause analysis, design improvement. Then we provide large circuit Monte Carlo or at high sigma. All these things, each of them have many pieces, right? Each of these solutions, when we come up with, there are many pieces. And not coincidentally, but I think by the nature of the problem, there are considerable overlaps among these solutions. So HSMC, yield, RCA, a bit more root cause analysis, design improvement, they all have a lot of overlapping components. And so we consider this to be different flows, but since they have many overlapping modules, also ends up happening is that we mix and match these things, right? We have to mix and match these modules to create flows. And as designers' requirements change over time, that they want to do certain parts of the circuit with a higher sigma levels, right? And rest of the circuit they don't need higher sigma. You need to be able to swap in and swap out different types of technologies and mix them in a very smooth way. And as a result, our workflow becomes very important. Coupled with this, the fact that we support multiple simulators, Synopsys has SPICE type simulators, Synopsys has fast SPICE type simulators, and multiple of these. And so workflow becomes very important. Reorganizing the different pieces efficiently is key to providing the various solutions that we provide. And when a user sets up each flow with necessary information, we don't want to make them feel like they have to fill up a whole page of information about the circuit. So it's very key that we allow them to provide them just the necessary components, minimum components, to be able to launch a robustness campaign. And setting up each flow with necessary information about the design and user's analysis requirements is highly important. And also important is reusing the setup. That is, if you have set up something for one circuit at a for a particular goal, like HSMC or something, can we use the same setup for another goal, say, you know, design improvement, etc., without a lot of user involvement? All these things, coupled with the fact that this is a statistical solution where data visualization is very important, I think all these things mandate that the workflow is as a key component of any memory robustness solution.
Right. And final question, high reliability is a big topic in the semiconductor industry. So how does design robustness fit into the overall design for high reliability paradigm that is, becoming prominent in memory development?
Sure. So let's look at the motivation for design robustness, right? Our designers, customers, they want to assess the design across the extremes of the design conditions. And and then thereby identify weaknesses which they can go and address, mitigate, etc. Ultimately, their goal is to improve the overall reliability of the product. Now, this is part of what we call pre-silicon analysis. That's where design robustness is fitting into, right? We are pre-silicon, and the broader reliability story for Synopsys is that there is pre-silicon. And then there is post-silicon as well. So in a sense, we have a full life cycle that, as an EDA company, we provide. So you can do a lot of things before you tape out, which is, at a pre-silicon stage, which is, your traditional reliability things like electromigration, negative bias, temperature instability kind of thing, hot carrier injection, all that kind of stuff. You can also do design robustness check, high sigma kind of thing. And then once you tape out, you can continue to monitor, right, your chips in the subsequent phases, like production phase, ramp up phase, infield phase, etc. So in the production phase, you can do a lot of things with our the SLM portfolio, right, the silicon lifecycle management portfolio, to help ramp up the production, and then continue once it is in the field deployed at a customer site, you can get telemetry to help do some corrective actions, to maintain the health of the product. So this is the, the life cycle management thing. Now, DR fits nicely in the pre-silicon aspect of this full life cycle reliability solution that Synopsys offers. And if you see our customers, they all like shift left kind of a thing, right? Where they want to know early on what is coming down the road, right? So I think design robustness, being a pre-silicon part of this overall design for high reliability, I think this serves a great purpose, right, in reducing cost and finding the solutions, finding the problems and offering solutions as early as possible, thereby reducing the overall cost, right? So I think this is how it fits into the whole picture.
Excellent conversation, Mayukh. It's been a pleasure. And hopefully we can talk again sometime on different subjects.
The pleasure was all mine, Daniel. Thank you. Nice to talk to you.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.